Good morning. It's 8:38 Finger Lakes Morning News, and it's time to get healthy with Finger Lakes Health. We say a zoomy good morning to Laura Turbide. Good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
And we'll meet our surgical provider guest coming up here in just a moment. But there's all kinds of things we can talk about. Let's start with just the COVID update in terms of vaccinating staff. I know that's been moving along real well. And just what you're hearing from the general public now that the criteria are beginning to expand and the availability of vaccine is beginning to expand.
Well, we are grateful that we are seeing a more plentiful supply around the region. We're also thankful for our community that people are stepping up and believing in the science and getting that vaccine. About 98% of our physicians and nurse practitioners and sort of providers are vaccinated. Significant percentage of our staff, we've been talking about like about 92% of our residents vaccinated. So we're feeling good momentum here and glad to keep it up.
I just got a press release that we put on our website, FingerLakesDailyNews.com, talking about how the new Visions program, which I know is near and dear to your heart, has continued to thrive during the pandemic.
It has. So shout out to Dr. Kairos, as well as so many of our other staff here at Finger Lakes Health who continue to make that a success, along with they have a dynamo, as everyone knows. Mrs. Laura Van Neel is the teacher with Wayne Finger Lakes BOCES and Finger Lakes Technical Career Center, who is our partner for that program. So we're thrilled. And applications are due now. So juniors who are out there who are looking for part of their senior year, if you're one of those 14 school districts, go on your website, look at it, go on our website. But certainly go through your guidance office and apply now for the program next year. So regardless of what the state of affairs looks like in terms of where the meeting is, you can know that the Finger Lakes Health is real committed to give a great clinical exposure as well as just ongoing education and in a unique experiential interdisciplinary way. So we look forward to it.
Go to our community calendar page at FingerLakesDailyNews.com. You'll see walk-in mammograms at Soldiers and Sailors tomorrow, community mobility screening at both Garnsey Rehab and Soldiers and Sailors on Thursday, Red Cross blood drive coming up. Have I covered it all?
You have got it all except, of course, March being Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month.
Right.
And so that's why we're here to cover that next.
All right. Introduce our guest.
I am so, we're so fortunate this morning to have, because very often he's in surgery in the morning. So I'm so grateful to have Dr. Craig Collins. Dr. Collins is board certified in colon and rectal surgery as well as general surgery. He is, he did his residency and fellowship at the University of Buffalo. He did his medical school and trained in Tel Aviv, Israel. He is our chief of surgery. And we've been hearing more and more about this. I think Chadwick Boseman, I think some other people have sort of brought to light the critical importance of ongoing colorectal cancer screening and how critical it is, but also that there are more and more advanced treatments. And we have our really the region's only colorectal surgeon right here. So in addition to doing general surgery, Dr. Collins has this specialty. So we welcome him this morning as our chief of surgery and also the area's only colorectal surgeon to talk a little bit more about how we can all focus on a really critical part of our health.
All right, Dr. Collins, welcome back. Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you too. Thanks for having me on.
I'm sure I've asked you this before, but I have a short memory. Tell us about going to medical school in Tel Aviv, Israel.
It was great. It was excellent. You know, education out there is extremely similar to the United States. It follows the same curriculum. And so the education was the same, but the cultural experience, the travel experience was incredible. It's an amazing country to be able to hop back between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and you know, down south to the desert and up north to the Sea of Galilee. It was incredible. Really enjoyed it.
One of your specialties, as Laura said, is colorectal surgery. And let's talk about colon cancer. It's one of the biggest shames, I guess I'd call it, because it is very easily treatable if it's caught early, but in too many cases, it's not.
That's true. So currently, the screening recommendations haven't changed much. Recommendations is to start at age 50, unless you have a family member, positive family history of colorectal cancer or polyps, or if you yourself have had polyps, we screen a bit more aggressively. And so during that colonoscopy, we are looking for things like polyps, which are or can be the precursors to colorectal cancer. And so the idea being that if we find those at an early stage, we can remove them at the time of colonoscopy and essentially prevent colon cancer from happening. So certainly it's one of those diseases that is preventable in most cases, but in some patients, these processes happen a bit more rapidly than the average population. And so even patients that adhere to screening guidelines certainly, could be at risk for developing that disease.
I know there's the fecal test where you get a sample and send in a strip, but that's really not enough, right? I mean, you need to have a colonoscopy done.
Well, colonoscopy is still the gold standard. It's the way to go if you can do that. Now, there is a test called Cologuard, which is a combination of blood and stool DNA. And based upon the results of that would determine, either a positive or negative result. Negative result would essentially mean that you would not, need a follow-up colonoscopy, but that test, the Cologuard test, is recommended every 3 years. But a positive test would then warrant a follow-up diagnostic colonoscopy. The main issue with Cologuard is that it's not as accurate as colonoscopy. You're dealing with roughly a 10% false positive and roughly a 10% false negative rate. So, you could have a positive test and then a negative colonoscopy, or a negative test and really have something there, an advanced polyp or colorectal cancer. So if you can do a colonoscopy, that is certainly the way to go. And, the Cologuard screening is not indicated for patients that have a family history of colorectal cancer or for patients that have had polyps in the past. And so that's really one of the main take homes.
What do we know about the causes? I've heard, tell me if this is correct or not, but in men especially, that, men who live to 80 or 90 years old, a large number of them wind up with colon cancer at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so with colorectal cancer, we don't have a silver bullet as far as, what is the one thing or the two things that you can do to avoid getting this disease. For risk factors, we really use, the overall risk factors for just poor health in general. So we look at, risk factors like obesity, smoking, high alcohol intake, high red meat intake, sedentary lifestyle. Those sorts of things overall are going to put you at a slightly higher risk of developing not only colorectal cancer, but various other cancers as well. And cancer really is, for most people, certainly an age-related disease, meaning that, the older that you get, the chances are higher that you would develop some sort of malignancy, later on in your life, whether it be colorectal cancer or, really any other type of malignancy.
When colorectal cancer is diagnosed, does the decision whether to use surgery or non-surgical techniques, does that largely depend on how soon it's discovered?
It can, yeah. So the treatment of colon cancer and rectal cancer really are quite different. In general, colon cancer is, for the most part, going to be treated with upfront surgery. So if we find a colon cancer on a colonoscopy, then we do some, various testing, CT scans, and some blood work to determine the stage. And assuming that it hasn't spread throughout the, to the liver, to the lungs, then we're treating with upfront surgery. Patients that have, a colorectal cancer diagnosis and have, evidence that the disease has spread, then typically we're treating with upfront chemotherapy, and those patients may be surgical candidates down the road. But for rectal cancer, it's a bit different. I don't want to drown you with the details there, but that diagnosis typically carries a bit more of diagnostic workup. Oftentimes those patients are treated with upfront chemotherapy and radiation, followed by surgery, and all of that sort of depends upon the staging and how advanced it is at the time you find the disease.
What does the colon... Oh, go ahead.
I'm just curious, given that the treatments are different, are there very different symptoms in terms of colon cancer versus rectal cancer? Sort of what should people be knowing when they're having conversations with their physician about when it's important to report things?
Mm-hmm. So in general, rectal cancer is going to be a bit more symptomatic, and you kind of start with the classic symptoms of rectal bleeding. And then as it advances along, you can get some obstructive symptoms. So you'll notice, or you could notice, a change in bowel habits. Some people will feel kind of a pressure in the rectum, or the kind of inability to have a normal bowel movement. Sometimes you'll have even diarrhea with that. Colon cancer, usually those patients are not symptomatic when you diagnose them, because it takes quite a large tumor to have symptoms in the colon. You know, you certainly can get the run-of-the-mill bleeding, change in bowel habits like progressive constipation. Sometimes you'll notice more abdominal bloating or even pain. But when you become symptomatic from a colon cancer standpoint, oftentimes it's going to be more of a larger tumor.
What does the colon do, and where does it fit in with the whole digestive system?
Well, it doesn't do much, to be honest. It essentially absorbs water, is really the main job of the colon. And so you could, and in some patients we do, remove the entire colon and people can live a pretty normal life. Bowel habits are a bit different, of course, but really there's no nutritional deficiencies that would result from removing part or all of the colon. It's really just an issue of forming bowel movements and absorbing water.
For people who haven't had their colonoscopy, is that something, do you do that, or is that something you can get from your primary physician and then be recommended to you if needed?
Yeah, so I do colonoscopies, and you know, we try to make it as easy as possible for patients. It used to be years ago that patients would have to come into the doctor's office to sit down and have a discussion about the colonoscopy and then book it. And you know, that whole process takes about 3 days off of work by the time you, you know, do the office visit, the colonoscopy, the prep, and all of that. So nowadays we are able to book the vast majority of these patients over the phone. So you could call my office or even the GI office and say, hey, you know, I'm due for my colonoscopy. And then we have a nurse that can screen you over the phone, take some basic information, and get everything squared away that way. So it's, we call that open access colonoscopy. It's very easy, very simple for the patient. And if there's some issue, there's, you know, a medical problem of some sort that needs, you know, a little bit more in-depth evaluation, then we could certainly have them come into the office, or some patients want to come into the office to have a discussion anyways, and we're certainly happy to do that, but really here to make it as easy as possible for patients and make the compliance as high as possible. We want everybody to be screened and everybody to be healthy, and so we do our best with that.
All right, get that screening if you haven't yet. Dr. Craig Collins, Chief of Surgery with Geneva General Surgical Associates, at 200 North Street in Geneva. The number is 787-5383. Good to talk with you again. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ted. Have a great day.
All right, Laura, thank you as always. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks, Dr. Collins.
Thanks, Laura. I'll see you later.